Lord knows we all need a little bit more of that. Amen. Well, I was thinking last year we, in our missions Christmas fund, we support all of our missionaries at $100 a month. And then last year we gave them, I think it was right at $800 or a little more, each one of them for Christmas that you guys are taking up here. And if Rusty was able to be the guy that was collecting all the money last year, get $800 per missionary for Christmas with his cuteness, imagine what these two little ones are going to bring in. Huh? So, we are in our family Bible hour. We're going to be in Exodus chapter 19, if you want to turn there. And before we get too much into our lesson, I'll look and see where we're at here on our word here. We're continuing to talk about the Bible. We talk about inspiration. It simply means God breathed his words through men to write the Bible. No man wrote what he wanted. He only wrote what God had him to write. As a matter of fact, if you have a pen in your hand and you were to, if I was to tell you to write John 3:16 down, the pen would do all the writing, right? Or your pencil, but it only move under your direction. And that's exactly what happened with men. They only moved as God told them to write. The verse there is all scripture. That means from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. And he says it is profitable. That means Old and New Testament is profitable. And it says it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So that's what the word inspiration means. It simply means God breathed. So we're going to be getting into the preparation today. God prepares Israel for their covenant. Next week we'll get into the giving of the Ten Commandments. And so we have the Ten Commandments up here. I don't think that you can see them from there, can you? Unless you got really good eyes. How many of you got good eyes can see those? And man, Glenn, you're on the back row and you raised your hand. Man. That's pretty good, huh? I can't see him from here. The Ten Commandments is what God gave his law on Sinai. These are ones that you can be working on to have in order. So let's go ahead and go through them, all right? Commandment number one. Who can tell me commandment number one? Glenn. Have no other gods before me. What's number two? Tim. You can look if you have to. He can't read it either. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images. What's number three? You shall not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Number four, who can remember? Anna. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Number five, Fonda. Honor thy father and thy mother. Number six, Helen. Thou shalt not kill. Number seven, Sarah. Number eight, huh? Thou shalt not steal. Number nine, thou shalt not bear false witness. And number 10, who wants to get that one done? Thou shalt not covet. So those are the Ten Commandments. And by the way, we've shared this before. When you're witnessing or sharing with somebody the gospel, start out with these before you give them the good news. And just ask them, have you ever lied before? And they'll have to say what? They either have to say yes or they're going to lie to you, right? And they're going to say yes. And how? What does that make you? And they're going to say what? It doesn't make me a liar. Well, yeah, it does. You don't have to say one lie to be a liar, right? And so then you say, have you ever stolen before? And remember, you already told me you're a liar, right? And they're going to say, yeah. How many of you all have stolen before? Debbie DeRay has stolen before? Drop her support. It's been a while. How many of you have stolen before? Is there anybody who never has stole? Anybody remember the first thing they stole? Mine was a 5-cent Three Musketeer. That was. So we have the Ten Commandments. You bring the Ten Commandments and let the law condemn them. The Bible says the law stops every man's mouth. We all become guilty. That's bad news. Because the wages of sin is what? Yeah. Now we know, take them to Calvary and tell them how Christ died to pay their sin. So that's important to learn the Ten Commandments as well as learn the Bible verses that you already, those of you who are memorizing those ones, to be able to have both of those as tools. Take them to the law and then take them to Christ there. So let's see what else we got here. So you can be working on those. We are on day number one. God prepares Israel for the covenant. Isn't it interesting that God didn't just give them the law? He has to prepare them to receive the law. So on day one, we talked about the Lord chose Israel to be his holy people. In Exodus 19, beginning in verse number 1, follow along if you're there. Exodus 19, beginning with verse 1. In the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they unto the wilderness of Sinai. For they were departed from Rephidim and were come to the desert of Sinai and had pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the mount. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you out unto myself. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, keep my covenant, then shall ye be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And it shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. And Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, All that the Lord has spoken we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. Who wants to get us started here on day one? What did you see in this lesson here that will be willing to, something you want to share tonight? Who wants to start us off? Vonda. All that the Lord has spoken, we will do. Very important. They are coming into a covenant with God here. We are doing a study. And I'm doing one with Carson right now and some other guys on Monday nights. And they're talking about how Israel sinned against God, disobeyed, complained and murmured. We saw that all last couple of weeks. And God never judged them or chastened them. We're going to see that from this point on, they say, we will do it. Now they're agreeing that we're going to be a part of this too, in this covenant. And from this point on is when God will begin to chasten them when they disobey because of what you just said right there. Who else has a thought here? Anybody else? No. Well, correct. Correct. That's interesting because that's you're in a generation that never experienced that. What do they call that? Blue light? Blue law. I'm thinking of Kmart. Sorry, man. I remember Kmart, all right. I probably was old enough during that time, but I don't recall it as much as some of you guys would. All the stores were closed on Sundays, and you honored the Lord. There's only a few stores that actually still do that. Chick-fil-A is one of them.
Even in California.
Absolutely. Yeah, it was kind of a nationwide thing. So, yeah, that's kind of an interesting thing. So what else do we see? There used to be a greater reverence for the Lord's Day. Now we got baseball things going on. So what else do we have here? Helen. Correct. Yeah, now we are the kings and priests in a holy nation, if you would. So are we fulfilling our responsibility is the question now. And so, good thought. Who else? Anybody? So So Israel, let me ask you this. When the people said here, as Vonda brought up, all that the Lord has said we will do, did they have a good heart for that, to do that? Do you think they meant it? At the time. Anybody else? Do you think they meant it? How many of you ever made a commitment at the time? And your heart was sincere about it. It's another thing to make that commitment. It's another thing to live that commitment, is it not? And so we see, again, that they are wanting to do the right thing, but God's using this to draw them into Him to where there is going to be now some accountability. And He'll still provide for them, but He wants to be able to be a blessing, but wants them to be a blessing to Him as well. Look what it says. It says, what animal did God use to show how He had rescued Israel? He used one. Did you say something? Eagle, yeah, eagle. He said, I have borne you up on eagle's wings. What's an eagle represent? Why do we have an eagle for our nation? Strength, power, what else? It's a picture of what? Huh? Yeah. So we can see it's a great picture. I mean, we have it as our national bird, you know, and if they wanted to have the national bird that they really should have used would have been a turkey back in Pilgrim's days, right? But I'm glad it wasn't a turkey. It's an eagle. And here he says, I came and I took you up as on eagle's wings. And it may be that our nation, remember, being established as a Christian nation, may have used this as its picture and its motto here. Question number two, why did God rescue Israel? Yeah, to bring them to Himself. He wanted them to be a people, a peculiar people. He wanted to make them His heart's desire, and it was going to be dependent upon them as well, we see a little bit later. Why did God deserve their obedience and worship? Why does He deserve our obedience and worship? Somebody different. Debbie. He's rescued them. He's rescued us. He's provided for them. He's provided for us. What else? Huh? Created them, created us. So clearly, that should be just a common thing that is due, correct? And so we see that clearly here. Again, we're seeing that people haven't changed at all, but God hasn't changed at all. Very important to keep this in mind, that all these things were written aforetime for our admonition and for our learning. And what does it mean to be a kingdom of priests? They give you kind of three things. What does it mean to be a kingdom of kings and priests? Somebody different here. Sorry, Helen. No God. It's not no God. It's to know God. What else? Huh? Worship Him. Anybody else? One more. Obey him? Yeah. To know, worship, and obey. Huh? Yeah. Spread His word. The whole thing there. All right. Let's move on. Day number two. We get into the area that Israel prepared to meet their holy Lord. Have you ever thought about that? I mean, have we ever just slowed down from life and thought, I'm going to meet Him one day. I'm going to stand in His presence. No more faith, it will be sight. And you'll be standing there before your Lord, your Savior, your Deliverer, the one who laid His life down while you were still a sinner and died for your sins. Isn't that not going to be awesome? I think John, it says that John fell as a dead man before Him. Well, let's look and see what we have here. Verse 9 of chapter 19. Verse 9. And the Lord said unto Moses, Lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee, and believe thee forever. And Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go unto the people, and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes, and be ready against the third day. For the third day the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. And thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about, saying, take heed to yourselves that ye go not up into the mount or touch the border of it. Whosoever touches the mount shall surely be put to death. There shall not a hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through. Whether it be a beast or man, it shall not live. When the trumpet soundeth, long they shall come up to the mount. And Moses went down from the mount unto the people and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. And he said unto the people, be ready against the third day. Come not at your wives. So here we have God is getting ready to come down. The people have to be sanctified or set apart even to come before he comes down. How is he coming down? What's it look like to you? We have this great big Mount Sinai. They're at the bottom. They're looking up at this mountain. And God is going to descend. How is God descending down on this mountain? Huh? Somebody said so. In a cloud. And I think it was a thick cloud that would come down. Huh? Dark and heavy cloud. So this cloud is descending down onto this mountain. People are at the bottom. Where's Moses at? Is he with the people or is he up in the mountain? And the cloud comes down. Later you're going to find out what comes out of the cloud. Thunders are coming out. Lightning is going on. It's pretty. I would think it would be pretty violent appearing. And then there's also what's happening. There's a sound taking place. A trumpet sound is blaring. A continual sound of a trumpet. Getting louder and louder. And some people call him that don't understand. Well, I'm going to talk to the old man upstairs. You talk about sacrilege. I mean, I remember, and I've shared this before, I remember being in Wichita when there's tornadoes going on. Tornadoes are incredibly powerful. I've seen them where the one was a quarter mile at the base, and it was just devastating everything. We had to pull over and think, that little ditch in the road just doesn't seem like a safe place with four little kids with you, you know. And it was a mighty thing, and it was just like, everybody's like, look at this. They're in awe of this thing. And it's just devastating everything that's moving towards it. And there was thunder and lightning, and the clouds were boiling like they are. Somebody had put them on, you know, when you put on time-lapse camera and the clouds are moving real fast? That's exactly what was happening in real life, and it was green. The clouds were green. And then you had the tornado sirens. You know, those ones that go off, and they just keep going. And you talk about an eerie, quiet, awestruck thing. I'm sure this was multiplied when God came down. Seems to me that there would have been no need to tell people to stay back. But man will do anything. And God knew that. Why would he be so harsh? Look at, I'm on the ground. The mountain starts here. That's the boundary. What if I went over there and said, and I just touched it? What would happen? Huh? Death. I had the death sentence on me. Why so severe? Why so severe to touch the mountain? The Lord is holy. Everything that he touches becomes holy. What was not holy at one point in time, the bush was not holy when Moses approached it. It was holy when God says, the ground you're standing on is holy. Why? Because of God's presence. But why death? We have God's holiness. Why death for touching it? Basically, because God said so. You think it's that simple? So do I. What is sin? Ultimately, disobedience. And God said, don't touch, which means don't touch. In the day you eat thereof, right, you will what? Surely die. In the day you touch thereof, you will surely die. God does not, folks, we need to understand God as a holy God, three times holy. His thinking about sin and ours is two different things. He does not play with sin. He doesn't put up with it, not even the least. And so we see here an incredible thing is coming down, that they are witnessing God descending in a cloud on a mountain. Question, when did God choose to appear to Israel? Question number one. I like their answer. What did they say? Correct. Most of us would have said he chose to appear to them on Mount Sinai, but I like the way they put it in there, just as he promised Moses. God is still showing that he's a God of promise, that he keeps his promises. Did he come down? He sure did. Question two, what did Israel do to prepare to meet with God? Got their clothes, had a cleaning day, right? Cleansed themselves, took baths. They've been journeying in the wilderness. They needed to get cleaned up. What does that teach us? John? Huh? Importance of purity. Maintaining, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to what? Cleanse us. He does the cleansing. What else? Who else? Somebody said something. Can't get too close. Not on that day you couldn't, huh? You're right. You're right. There is even a sense, like we're looking at today here, of how we should even be when we come to church. Is that okay to say that? I know it's like, oh, man, that could be offensive. It depends on what church you go to. There should be a modesty area. There should be a cleanliness. There should be that I'm coming into the presence. I have a dear friend. I love him in the Lord. He's a greater man than I am. I can say that. He was the associate pastor at the church I was saved at. And his father was the pastor that I took over for at Fair Park. And his dad was a very godly man. Brought up very conservative, but the church has taken a huge veer to the left. And they run probably around close to 10,000 a day. They have two services on Saturday and four on Sundays. And it's just a big church. Very, 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 very contemporary. Very down-dressing and everything. And again, I understand that a man's heart is what God looks at. I understand that. But what gets me is you can dress really shabby going to church and it's acceptable. And yet when he did a funeral for somebody, he was dressed in a suit and tie. I said, now why would we dress in a suit and tie to bury somebody and not dress up for the living and true God? How can we? I'm just saying, if there's a standard for that, why is there not a higher standard for God? And I'm not opposed to guys. I'm going to bury myself here. I can see that already. So maybe I should back away. But I'm just saying that I think we need to step it up for God. I think God deserves our best. The first deacon that I ever had believed this. He goes, I believe you should wear your very best to God's house. Now, he goes, let me say this. He goes, if you're a farmer and the very best you have is overalls, he goes, you wear your best pair of overalls, but you wear your best. And I think he had a handle on that. You just wear your best. It's God that we're coming to. There's a preparation for us to come into the house of God, just as much as there is for Israel. Yeah.
And so when he was buried, he was a kid, obviously he was going to be in his own room.
there's an expectation sometimes. I went to a church, I'm not going to say where it is, it's not in Texas, that it's a big church. They can preach a good message, but their music is just way out of line. But I kid you not that you cannot be in that church as a man and not be confronted with nudity at all levels. I'm talking about women wearing bikini tops and short shorts. I'm thinking, these guys are coming into this church to worship a holy God. Where is the leadership of that church teaching modesty? Number one, women shouldn't dress that way. Number two, guys shouldn't look that way. But I'm sorry, you bring those two together, you got a problem. You cannot worship a holy God at that level. And I'm not trying to harp on that because it doesn't seem to be a problem here, all right? I'm just saying that the church as a whole has changed and they would not be prepared to meet their God today if God came down because of the standards that God has. What do these preparations show us about holiness? What do these show us about holiness? Well, I'll just tell you what. Correct. What is the answer in your book? That we should what? Take God's holiness seriously. That's what he's trying to teach us here. And by the way, you can have a suit and tie on or the right length dress and have impure heart, correct? So God does look on the heart. Man looks on the outward. So we understand that there is that. But that doesn't do away with one or the other in the area. Day four, we move on because I want to make sure we, even though we started late, we end on time here. Oh, we're on day three. Okay, sorry, my bad. Life is short. We don't need to skip a day, right? The Holy God met with Israel. So we have Israel is prepared to meet the Holy God. Now the Holy God is meeting with Israel. Who wants to read verses 16 to 25 nice and loud? 16 to 25. Anybody got that? You got it, Tim? Go ahead, real loud. All right, who wants to give us some info here real quick? Running out of time, so you got to be quick. You got something to say? Say it loud. I know there's a lot here. Correct. That's good. He set parameters on how we are to approach him. What else do we see here? The power. Yeah. The power of God. And by the way, that was nothing for him. Okay? What else do we see here? It's interesting, in verse 21, the Lord said unto Moses, go down, charge the people, lest any break through it unto the Lord, to gaze, and many perish. Many. He was concerned. He knew Israel's heart, right? By the way, what did the Israelites, we say, saw at the very beginning, say they would do? Obey whatever he said. So did he set boundaries for them to know? And now he's already, he's showing mercy to them before they make an error. Don't let this happen, because there will be many that will perish. Look at verse 22. Let the priests also which come near to the Lord sanctify themselves, lest the Lord break through. Evidently, there were some people that were wanting to gaze upon the Lord at the cost expense of their life. And there were some priests, evidently, who still had not sanctified themselves. He says, they better get sanctified, because I'll come and break through on them. It's interesting the words that he uses, break through on them. What else do we see here? A lot of power. What's the power seen in? Look at your first question. When God appeared, what did it sound and look like? What was some of the stuff? Somebody shout it out. Thunder, lightning, what else? Fire and smoke, what else? And then the trumpet louder and louder and louder it grew. Question two, how many warnings were there not to cross the boundary of the mountain? Three times. Three times he warned them, don't do it. Folks, is that mercy or is that not? That is mercy. He wasn't willing that any of them would perish. And then what would happen if someone actually crossed the boundary? They would be put to death. How were they put to death? Stoning or what? Yeah, speared through. I wonder who did those. The priests, the people? Day number four, unless you have something to add here. We got 6 minutes left. Day four. We're going to cover 2 days and 6 minutes. 48 hours of time. God's holiness is a fearful and an awesome thing. Is anybody at Isaiah 6? Are you at Isaiah 6? Why don't you read that, Glenn? 3 to 5, yeah. The Lord of Hosts. Great book, Isaiah, especially Isaiah 6 there. What does the word holy mean? Perfect. What else? Pure. Complete. Yep. Different from everything else. Yeah. And why is God's holiness connected to smoke and violent quaking? His reaction to sin, yes. God doesn't put up with any sin at all. Smoke and quaking show God's wrath against sin, which is not holy, the opposite of him. And then what did Isaiah say when he saw God's holy presence? Woe is me. He declared woe upon himself. Does anybody know what Isaiah was doing in chapters 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 of Isaiah, offhand? In the first 5 chapters of Isaiah, he is declaring woe on everything and everybody else. The kings, those that were in authority, the common people. He was pronouncing woe against anything and everything. Then he stands before the Lord, and then he says what? He brings it to himself. He brings it to himself. Woe is me. And then what happened to Isaiah before he became God's servant? He He was humbled and cleansed. Very importantly, that's what we see God was doing, sanctifying them. And the angel come and touched his mouth. All right, let's wrap up day five here, all right? Sorry we're going so fast. Believers have special privileges in Christ. And in 1 Peter, we jump all the way back over again to the New Testament here. If I can find it. If anybody else is at 1 Peter, chapter 2, 1, verse 9 and 10. Look what it says. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Through Jesus Christ, who now enjoys the privileges that was first given to Israel. The church, New Testament believers. And why does God save people? So they will honor him and bring glory to his name. And then the last question asked is, how are believers today like the priests of Israel? How are we like that? Do we still bring sacrifices? Spiritual sacrifices. And what are the sacrifices that we can bring? Your bodies? What else? Yep. Our giving of ourselves. All of these different. Praise of your lips is sacrifice to God. So we still are doing a priestly work. A priest, remember, always had his back to the people as he interceded on their behalf to God. You and I still have the ministry of intercession as well for each other, where we should be praying one for another, the Bible says, as priests and kings. Next week, we go from this area where he's preparing them that God is going to give them the Ten Commandments. So next week, we'll be doing a study on the Ten Commandments. Here pretty soon, I'm not sure when, in the next few weeks, we will be taking a break from this. Let me give you a quick update. We've got about 2 minutes left here. Hold on. September. Okay, on the 14th of September and the 21st of September, Brother Willie Weaver will be here. He'll be doing the morning and the afternoon this service here, okay? So you will not have to do your lessons on the 14th or the 21st. On the 28th, I'll be back here. And on the 28th, we will be doing a review game, okay? And I'll give you the dates next week on which ones lessons you want to be studying that questions for our review game on the close out the month of September with. Brother Don and Helen's going to be gone Tuesday, going on a cruise for their 60th anniversary. Very good for you on that. And with the same company. That's pretty good. You must have really great benefits. And so that's a good testimony there. And so I'll be covering for him on Sunday school next Sunday and the following one. And I don't know what I'm bringing yet. We'll just bring some teachings there. Let Don finish his study. So we'll be having some changes coming up. So keep each other in prayer. Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, we'll continue our study on prayer as we wrap up that third and final point on session one. Let's all stand and we'll be dismissed. Thank you for coming. Thank you for everybody who brought desserts, as well as those that did spaghetti and all of the salad and all that stuff. Father, love you and thank you for this day. Just pray that you give everybody safety as they travel out now, dear Father. Watch over them, give them safety and return home. Bless this week, dear Father. Help us to be a light, dear Father, to those that are around us. May we even grab some gospel tracts, whether the ones here at this door or the ones down at the other end of the church. May we just grab some, dear Father, to have, to be able to hand out. It's not going to hurt us to hand these out, and maybe we'll see you do a work, dear Father, in the sowing of those seeds. Just add your blessing now, and bless each and everyone here today. In Jesus' name, amen.